It's Flo, and this is my impression of a drill instructor directing a musical.
Tan Hut! Get those tap heels in line and let me see those jazz hands! Are you bundling your home and auto insurance through Progressive? Can you hear me through those sequins?
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Left, 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 and step ball change.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company Affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.
they've been going through. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus, woo, I'm about to have church right by myself. Is that all right? I want you to lift your voice and talk to the person next to you and guarantee them that prayer.
Coming to you more like a road show because I'm out here doing what I like to do for pleasure, that is with my horses. We at the same time want to have Bible study tonight. Real people, real life, real answers. There's a noise in the background, and we'll clear that up in a few minutes. Prayer still works. Coming out of Houston, Texas, Real Life Church, 2703, Highway 6 South, Suite 150, Bam Bam Banquet Hall is our location. We come to you every Tuesday night for Real People, Real Life, and Real Answers. And we're in a series right now called Living in the Overflow. Our theme for this year is the power of the anointing to evangelize the world and to live in the overflow. We've been dealing with some of the topics and issues concerning that, living in the overflow. And so tonight we continue this progress or process tonight. I want you to get your Bibles ready. It's going to prayer, and we'll go from there. Father, we love you. We thank you. We lift up your name. You alone are worthy. From the rise of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. Now, Lord, let your word be real to us tonight. Let it be a word we're going to relate to. Let it be relevant. Let it be a normal word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Tonight, I want to look at Malachi, the third chapter. It's Old Testament, right before the New Testament. And a particular scripture that may have been misused in many times in many ways. And so don't turn off the radio or get out the radio because you heard me go to Malachi 3rd chapter. But I want to go there so you can know what we're doing and what we're saying about living in overflow. Living in overflow. I want to talk about the fact that God has made a promise to us that we're going to have to pay attention to, living in the overflow. Malachi 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have you robbed? We have robbed you in tithes and offerings. Now, right there, when you hear me talking about money, people and money, it's funny, so Don't think I'm about to preach about trying to get some money from you because we're not. That's not what we're doing. I want to teach you some principles tonight about how to begin the overflow process in your life, okay? You're cursed with a curse when you rob me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. And try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts. And if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour you out such a blessing, there'll be not enough of room to receive it. All right, try me now, this is the Lord, and see if you're going to prove me. If I open windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, one blessing, you and I have room to receive. I want to talk tonight, maybe tonight, maybe another night, and you hear calls in the background of you. Here, man, don't worry about that. I want to preach about under or open heaven. Tell your neighbor, say, under or open heaven. Living under or open heaven. You say, Pastor, then why are you talking about tithe? Because that's what's tied to that scripture about living under open heaven. He talks about tithes, and tithing is not the law. Tithing is a principle of faith. Tithing is a principle of faith, and if you find out how to give God 10% of everything he increased you with, he will take your 90% and make it 10 times better. Let me say it again. Matter of fact, he'll take your 90%, the Bible says, and make it 30 times better according to your faith. He'll take your 90% and make it 60 times better according to your faith. He will take your 90% and make it 100 times better according to your faith. But you got to be able to release the 10% that belongs to God back to him and see if God don't bless the 90% and cause you to live under and open heaven. Because he says the opposite thing is that if you do not do the tithe, he will shut the windows of heaven and there will be no rain. There will be no blessing coming to you. Well, Pastor, where did tithing start if it's not under the law, if it's not old covenant? Because it is new covenant. Go over to Genesis, the 14th chapter. Genesis, because it starts with Abraham. Go to Genesis 14. Go over there. Go and say, the preacher is preaching by the street. The preacher is preaching by the road. The preacher is preaching at his horses. The preacher is preaching on the road. Genesis 14th chapter. And 18 verse, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine and was the priest of God Most High and blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of Most High, of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the portions and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I raise my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from you, not even a thread, strap or sandal. I will not take anything that is yours. Thus you said, I have made Abram rich. So all of the young men of Eden and the portion of the men who went with me, Abner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Come on, here's what happened. Abram was walking and following God and went out to fight against some kings. And he and the other king won against the kings. And Melchizedek, the Bible says in Hebrews, the 7th chapter, Melchizedek was Christ himself that came in the form of a man, of a king. He had no mother, no father, no beginning, no end. He was God himself revealing himself to Abraham. He was Christ, the anointed one, Melchizedek. He was called King of Salem. The word Salem means king of peace. The first thing I want you to understand is that when you decide to make covenant with God, you have peace with God when you have things and when you don't have things. Let me say something to you. A lot of folks trying to get their hands on things and trying to be rich and trying to get blessed and trying to have benefits from God and trying to have the overflow, and they want to have a lot of great things. And God reigns on the just and the unjust. But the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous is between the just and the unjust is you have peace before you have the things. So when you have the things, you still have peace. Because people got stuff, but there's stuff that they got wrong, and they don't have peace because they think somebody's trying to take it from them. They think they're about to lose it. They think somebody's going to rob them. They think somebody's going to steal them down. They think somebody's going to do something to them to destroy them, to come and take their stuff, because they do not have peace. But the king of Salem means the king of peace. The first thing I want to drop in your spirit tonight is that under open heaven, God says, I've come that you might have peace. If you have money in your pocket, you have peace. If you have no money in your pocket, you still have peace. You're rich, you have peace. You're poor, you have peace. You're well and healthy, you have peace. If you're sick, you still have peace. If you're on top, you have peace. If you're on the bottom, you have peace. If you're in the front, you have peace. If you're in the back, you have peace. They're doing you wrong, you have peace. They're doing you right, because the king of peace is the king of Salem. Come on. Come on. The overflow has the first begin spiritually, we told you last week. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So I'm telling you tonight that the overflow of peace.
The overflow of peace. The overflow of peace must be the first thing that you realize in your life. The overflow of peace. I got to have peace in my life. So they met with the king of Salem. He was called Melchizedek. He was the king of kings, the Lord of lords. He was the one that came out to bless Abram. And Abram, and they said this Melchizedek was the king of God Most High who possessed heaven and earth. I want you to understand that God possesses heaven and earth. The Bible says he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. I want to add to it, he also owns the hills. God possesses heaven and earth. They got a lot of folk on earth that possess earth. You have rich folk, billionaires, folk that got things in the earth realm. But God got things in the heavenly realm and in the earthly realm. And what you want God to do is to open up the windows of heaven over your life. So I'm living under open heaven. How many are living in open heaven tonight? I'm living under open heaven, the possessor of heaven and earth. Abram gave him a tent of everything he had won from that battle. He gave him a tenth of everything he owned and everything he got from the battle. He tied to Melchizedek. So tithing does not start in the law. Because if tithing starts in the law, when you get to Leviticus, if you miss the tithe, you owe God 30% interest. Good God Almighty. You think when you have bad credit, they're going to charge you 21% interest. You think when your credit not so well, they'll give you 18% interest. If you miss the tithe under the law, you owe 30% interest. So we're not talking about tithing under the law. We're talking about making covenant with God tonight. And before the law was even given, 400, 500, 600 years before the law was even given, when Abraham was there with God, 800 years before the law was given, when Abraham was there with God, Abraham tied to God out of covenant and out of faith. We're not talking about trying to make a tie to a certain church denomination, to a church, certain church congregation, wherever you worship at, wherever you get your word at, wherever you sit up under a shepherd, wherever you submit yourself, become disciplined, is where you need to tie, because that's where you get your, God is feeding you, so you go reinvest in what God is feeding you. So we're not trying to tell you to tie to real life church. We're not trying to tell you to tie to any certain denomination, no bishop or anybody, but we teach you the principle that if you release the 10%, God will bless the 90%, and it's not by law, it's not by compulsion, it's by faith, and it's by covenant. Come on, I'm living under open heaven. And Abram gave 10% to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek came out and brought bread and wine. Can I help you out? On this Sunday coming up will be the first Sunday in October. And most people in most congregations are going to celebrate the communion. They're going to celebrate bread and wine. And nobody knew that before they even had the Passover, before they even had the Passover with the lamb and the unleavened bread, before they had the Passover and they drunk the wine, before they had the Passover to get them out of Egypt, that Abraham, that Melchizedek met Abraham with bread and wine. He had communion with Abraham, good God Almighty. And when Jesus decided to bring out the bread and wine, he said, this bread is my body broken for the sins. This wine is my blood shed for remission. Can I first tell you that the only way you're going to understand the open heaven is that God says, I've given my body, I've shed my blood, I've made things possible, I've did everything I can do to finish. And so I've set it up that you can have communion with me. I've set it up that you can be coming in my life and give me bread and wine. He come to commune with me. He come to make relationship with me. He come to sup with me. He came to live with me. He came with bread and wine, and he blessed Abram, and Abram gave him a tenth of everything he had. Good God Almighty. Come on, come on, come on, come on. The bread is the body that's broken. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised by iniquity. Just tie my piece of bone and by his stripes, I'm healed. Every sin that I got is in his wound. Everything I've done wrong is in his chastisement. Everything I, come on, every sickness is in his stripes. I'm healed. I'm set free. I'm forgiven. I'm delivered because his body was broken for me. But then he shed his blood, and the blood that he shed, come on, washes every sin away. The blood that he shed covers me. The blood is the covenant with me. The blood will never lose its power. Andre Cross said, it reaches to the high mountain, it flows to the lower valley. This blood that gives me strength from day to day will never never lose his power. All the blood that Jesus shed. All the blood, come on. He washes me white as snow. Good God Almighty. Come on, he came to make communion. Oh, if you want to live in the overflow, you got to understand the covenant. You got to understand what God already done for you. You got to understand that he already made sacrifices for us. He's already made a provision for us in the spirit realm first, so that we can recognize it, realize it, and enjoy it even in the natural realm also. Good God Almighty. He came with bread and wine. He came to have communion. I'm so glad that God came to have communion with me in my messed up state, in my trouble, in my struggle, in my sin, in my hurt, in my pain. He came and had communion with me. He brought bread and wine to make covenant with Abraham. And Abraham gave him a tenth. He gave him a tithe of everything, 10%, so he can live off the 90%. What's wrong with us? We want to hold on to 100%. And that 10% becomes a cancer, becomes a canker worm. That 10% becomes a holes in our bag. That 10% becomes something that's going to hurt us because we now have faith enough to believe that it belongs to God. Say, it belongs to God. Say, I'm robbing God. I ain't robbing the preacher. I'm not robbing the church. I'm not robbing the denomination. I'm not robbing the congregation. I'm robbing God when I do not understand that the 10% belongs to him. And so I'm living under a closed heaven. But I want to challenge you tonight to open up. So open up and receive under open heaven communion with God, under open heaven peace with God, under open heaven Melchizedek, who is Christ, the anointing of God. I want the anointing in my life. Under open heaven, I receive, come on, obedience to, come on, give God the tenth. Because he says, he told the other king of Sodom, I don't want nothing from you lest you say that you made me. I want to get you this in your spirit. The problem is we want somebody else to make us. We want some man. We want some organization. We want some company. We want some degree. We want some certification. We want somebody to anoint us, somebody to lay hands on us, somebody to appoint us, not just in the spiritual realm, not just in church, but in our careers, in our jobs, in our community. We want somebody else to recognize us. We want somebody else to promote us. We want man to make us. You see, man can't make us. But if man make you, man going to break you. If man make your man gonna lead you. If man make your man gonna take you down. If man make your man gonna use you. If man make your man gonna control you. And he says, I don't want no man trying to make me. I don't want nobody else to say they made me. I want you to know that God is the one that makes me. Because before God makes me, he decides to break me. Good God Almighty. See, man will make you and turn around and break you. But God does it different. God says, I'll break you so I can make you. I'll break you all the way down. I'll change your attitude. I'll change your vision. I'll change your ideals. I'll change your lifestyle. I'll change your habits. I'll change who you are. I'll break you all the way down so I can make you. See, I don't want no man to make me. I want God to make me. But God gonna break me before he makes me. God gonna move me before he brings me to another level. God's gonna change me before he give me what I need. He gonna break me before he makes me. I don't need man to make me. Abraham said to Sodom, king of Sodom, I won't take nothing from you. Because if I take something from you, I'm going to be obligated. See, we obligate ourselves to people before we obligate ourselves to God. Watch this. Can I get into your business? See, you've got all the credit cards and got everything you're buying on credit. And everything you're buying, see, you obligate yourself to man. And you say, Pastor, I cannot give my tithes to God. I cannot pay my tithes. I can't because I already got my money tied up and everything else. So you obligated yourself to people, obligated ourselves to sisters. We've all been there. Obligated ourselves to see, hey, when I point my finger at you, there's three pointing back at me. In Texas, I'm doing old shoot, six shooter style at four. We give everything that we've obligated ourselves on paper, obligated ourselves with credit card, obligated ourselves with this, we've obligated ourselves to man. And that's what Abram told Sodom, the king of Sodom, I will not take anything from you, because then I'm going to be obligated to you. I'm only going to lift my hand unto God. He's possessed of heaven and earth. What God was doing was move from the position of being the creditor, be the one to receive credit and be the one to give credit. He wants to move from the one that's in debt and be the one that's lending the folk. He wants to move from the position of always needing somebody and somebody needing us. God wants to understand that we need to quit letting folk make us, let the system make us, letting our credit make us, but let Let God break us, and then God can remake you. Let God break us, and we can get free from this stuff, free from debt, free from worry, free from pain, free from fear. I want to be under an open heaven. Tell you never say, I want to be under an open heaven. I need to be under an open heaven. So Abram said, no, I'm not going to take nothing from you, because you're going to say you made me. I don't want you to say you made me. I want God. I want you to know God is my maker. He's a possessor of heaven and earth. He's a possessor of heaven and earth. He says, I want God to be the one that makes me. And so Abram gave the tithe to Melchizedek, who is the son of God. Because Hebrews 7 chapter says he is the son of God. He had no mother, no father, no beginning, no end. He was Jesus himself, showed up in the form of Melchizedek and had communion with Abraham. And then Abraham gave him a tithe. So I'm trying to tell you why you're singing all, why we're singing all the worship songs and all the praise songs. And we have all the communion, breaking the bread and drinking the wine. We have all the word in the scripture, have all the prayer time, have all the consecration, all the anointed. Don't forget that God says, look, don't forget to give me my money. Ah, it's God Almighty. God said, don't forget me. What belongs to me is the 10%. After all you did, so don't hold out on me, because God said, me and my money is funny too. Hey, good God Almighty. God says, I want to make sure that you give me what belongs to me. Give me back my 10% and see if I don't bless your 90%. See if I don't bless your 90%. Right about here, we got about like 7:26 or so by my clock. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. And I want you to hear the song by Yolanda Adams of Houston, Texas. The famed Yolanda Adams, an incomparable voice. Sing a song, be blessed. We'll come right back to you live. It's Pastor A.F. Riggins live on the road, live at the horses. Be blessed, Pastor A.F. Riggins.
Your way, and you're all washed out, cause it rained on your parade. Seems nobody cares about you anyway. Now you're living your life like a castaway. Search for strength inside, was it all in vain? Cause the deeper you dig, you find more and more pain. Don't let your tomorrow be like yesterday, cause I spoke to God, called out your name, and on your behalf, I just ask if he would be there for you.
Yeah.
be blessed. Don't do anything that God would not have you to do. Be blessed. I know it ain't what you want right now, but it sure could be a lot worse. Just be blessed. Let Him do a work in you.
Yes, yes, be blessed, Pastor Ed Riggins, coming to you live, feeding them horses, boy, I tell you. Them horses get crazy, Brother Barron. You're trying to feed them, but we're out here, and we know that God is providing for us. He said, be blessed. As we learn out, he says, be blessed. And, boy, I tell you, let me be careful not to get kicked out here live at the horses. This is Pastor Ed Riggins, Real People, Real Life, Real Answers. Talking about under an open heaven. Say under open heaven. Well, I'm almost winded trying to get this thing done. We're glad to be with you live today. Why don't you go back to Malachi 3rd chapter? Somebody read that for me if you could, but you know you can't read it for me, so I'm going to read it. Malachi 3rd chapter says, look, he says, bring all his tithes in storehouse. That may meet in my house, said the Lord. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You have no room to receive. Say, under an open heaven. Say, under an open heaven. Under, I'll pour you out a blessing. You have no room to receive. Under an open heaven. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you what open heaven is. God blessing you. Not with material things, but God blessing you with the ability to grow, to prosper, to be, to have, to get, to multiply under open heaven. So, Pastor, you're working hard out there, yes? If anybody know anything about horses, feeding time is a crazy time. And what they'll do is they'll fight among themselves, get the food, and I try to make sure that I don't get hurt in the process sometimes. So I'm moving around like an athlete, but I got it done now. You heard me feeding. Guess what? When we're believers, God don't want us to have to be fighting one another to get what he has for us. We don't have to fight the world and fight the enemy and fight folk and fight systems. If you get in the open heaven, whatever is for you, you're going to have. You're going to be blessed in the process. There's no struggle, no competition. You don't have to be like these horses going after it. I was giving you a living sermon right there, if you could have seen it. How these horses act, how they always act when it's time to eat. But under open heaven, you got to recognize that God says, if you put me first in everything and give me what belongs to me, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you have no room to receive. Watch this. A blessing. What is a blessing? A blessing is a state of being. God will not give you a bunch of blessings. God's trying to give you one blessing. God's not trying to give you a bunch of blessings. God's trying to give you one blessing. You get that one blessing, that one position, that one, when I mean position, I don't mean position on a job. I mean one state of being, one condition. One area in your life in which you know that you have been multiplied, you become greater than you were before. That one area in which God can make the best out of you. That one gift that God wants to bring out of you. That one anointing that God wants to use in you. Come on. That one talent that God can make everybody see what you're doing and who you got. Come on, say, pour out a blessing. Huh? That one state of being where you're spiritually fit, you're sound, nothing broken, nothing missing. Come on, say, I am in a blessed state. He told Abraham, I bless you. Thank you.
He'll pour out and make you to become greater than you ever been. He'll pour out. God says a testing is a test me with my money. Ah, good God Almighty, test me with my money. And see, if I don't pull out the blessings, you have no room to receive. Good God Almighty. My. I hope y'all can hear me tonight. Pull out the blessing. Pull out the blessing. Hallelujah. I'm still here. Pour out the blessing. Pour out the blessing. I have my engineer talking to me. I got to see what she says. Pour out the blessing. Yes. The phone was breaking up. Pour out the blessing. The phone was breaking up. I'm here. Yes. Pour out a blessing. Pour out more than you ever think you have. Pour out more than what you ever dream you'll have. Pour out more than you ever dream you will be. Say, God has me under an open heaven. Everywhere I look, God is pouring out. He's pouring out. He's pouring out. I want you to get this. Because I tested God. And I tested God. I proved God. See, don't get mad at the preacher talking about money. Because the preacher ought not be trying to get money in his mouth, but he's trying to get money in God's house. Come on. Meet in God's house to do ministry. Meet in God's house to bless somebody. Meet in God's house so that he can be able to help someone. Meet in God's house so God's people can help the poor, help those that are hurting, help those that are broken. Meet in God's house so that the word can be preached. Meet in God's house so the mission can be met. Meet in God's house so the vision can go forth. It's not about the preacher getting fat. It's not about the preacher getting rich. It's not about the preacher getting money. It's about God having money with a mission and a mission with the money. Come on, he says, just give me the 10%. And I'm going to bless the 90%. He said, you robbed me in my tithe and in my offering. But he said, test me, prove me in this thing. I want you to test God. How many of you test the creditor? And the creditor gave you the loan. You test the bank, and the bank took care of the bill. You test your employer, you got a raise. You test your friend, and they helped you out. If all those folk in the natural could come through for you for dollars, for pennies on a cent, they come through for you for just a little bit. If you could test folk in the natural, what about testing God, who is the one who makes billionaires, who is the one that makes millionaires, who is the one that makes heaven and earth, possesses heaven and earth, say, test God. If you test somebody else on something, they came through for you. How about testing God tonight? Say, test him and prove him in this thing. Oh, say, prove him in this thing. Prove him and see if you can come off of welfare. Prove him and see if you can come out of debt. Prove him and see if you can come out of lack. Prove him and see if you can live in the overflow. Prove God in this thing. If you learn how to test God and prove him, tell your neighbor, say, prove him, prove him. And God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. You have no room, not enough of room to receive. Pastor, I'm floating in it. I'm flowing in it. I'm drowning in it. Ah, I got more than enough. The word El Shaddai means God of more than enough. He's the mighty breasted one. The word El Shaddai literally means the mighty breasted one, the one more than enough. He says he is the one
so full of milk that the milk will be running out your mouth and you still got it coming. Say, mighty blessed one. I mean, he's the one that money coming to you and money still flowing out of you. He's the one that got progress coming to you and progress will still be flowing out of you. He's the one that got importance coming to you, making you somebody great and greatness still coming out of you. He's the one that have influence coming to you and influence still coming out of you because he is the mighty breasted one. He's the El Shaddai, God of more than enough. Say, more than enough, more than my troubles, more than my pain, more than my hurt, more than my sickness, more than my struggle, more than my debt. He's God of more than enough. I wish somebody would praise him tonight. I wish somebody would believe me tonight. I wish somebody would want to live under an open heaven tonight. Say, under open heaven. Under open heaven. You ought to want to praise him. You ought to want to be under open heaven because he's the God of more. Can't never say the God of more. Say, more than enough. He's the God of more than enough. He's the God of more than enough. He's the God of the mighty breasted one, the El Shaddai. He'll pour out a blessing. You have no room. Tell them, say, no room to receive. I got more than what I need. I got to pass it on to somebody else. I got to give it out to somebody else. I got so much it's going to spoil. See, you don't look at God like that. We want God just to meet the need. But I want God to meet the need. I want God to beat the need. I'm going to say it again. I want God just to meet the need. I believe in a God that will beat the need. I want God just to give me enough. I believe in God more than enough. And I'm living under open heaven. Now, if you don't believe that, because it's one scripture all by itself. Joel, the third chapter. Says, once you understand who God is, says God will take away the locust, the cankerworm, and every other type of worm, and all the stuff is eating up your stuff. He will rebuke the devourer. He'll take away everything that you have. Stealing your stuff, killing your stuff, destroying your stuff, everything that's sickness in your body. That's what Joel the third chapter says. God says, I remove the cankerworm, the wild locust, the other locust, every type of worm and every type of devour. And God says, I'm going to give you the first rain and the last rain. Oh, we in harvest time. We're getting to the fall. It's called harvest time. God says, I'm going to give you the first rain and the last rain, so that you can get a harvest in your life. Some of you have been dry for too long. Pastor, I've been dry. My spirit is dry. My love is dry. My soul is dry. My joy is dry. My peace is dry. My cupboard is dry. My basket is empty. My bank account is dry. Everything is dry, and I need some rain. Well, God says, if you believe that you're living on open heaven, God says, I'm about to give you the first rain and the last rain. King James said the former rain and the latter rain. Come on, tell you, it's raining. It's raining. It's flooding. It's pouring. I'm receiving. I'm believing. I'm walking in it. See, you say, Pastor, why does it take all that? Because some of y'all know after all this preaching and everything you receive on this tonight, when it's time to give your tithe and offering, you're still going to fight with the situation. That's why I've got to be your cheerleader tonight. I got to be your promoter. I've got to be your encourager. I got to be the one to try to tell you it's going to work out. Come on, let me tell you something. If you can't meet the need with the 100%, how you think you are, if it is not blessed, won't you try God with the 10% and see if God don't bless the rest? If you can't meet the need with the 100%, good God Almighty, why don't you Why don't you give God his 10% and turn around and see if God don't bless the rest? Come on, you don't hear me. He'll take the 90% and call it blessed. And you're going to see, he's going to send the first rain, the second rain. Come on, he's going to send the overflow and the harvest. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in all your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Very next verse. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase and see if he will not cause your vats and your wine to overflow and your kneading basket and everything around you to overflow. I'm talking about an open heaven tonight. You got to give God what belongs to him first. Don't try to see if you got something left over for God. God don't want any leftovers. God wants the first up the top. He wants the best. He says, I'm going to bless the rest. I'm talking about an open heaven. Folks, about, I don't know why I can never get ahead. I don't know why I can never do any better. I don't know why I can't be in the front. Because once you know and understand that God's supposed to have his first, you're going to keep robbing God. And God's going to say, I'm not doing anything to you. You're doing it to yourself. You're doing it to yourself. He says, the windows are shut. I can't open them up. Because you're robbing me. I can't bless you. You got the key to the heavens, key to open up the heaven and let it rain on you. Pastor, all that's in the Old Testament. So I'm in a New Testament church. I'm a Christian. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? You tell me what Jesus say, I'll listen to you tonight. I said, I'm glad you told me that. Then I go over to Luke, the 6th chapter and the 38th verse. Luke 6:38 says this. Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, men will give unto you. Watch this. Luke 6:38. Jesus says, give. Now watch this. It is not the quantity, it's the quality of your giving. There was a woman that was there. That all she had was 2 pennies, but she gave her all. And Jesus said she gave the most. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. If you have a bunch of money, but only giving God 5%, even though that 5% is more than everybody else gave, you didn't give your best because he asked for 10%. If you only have a little bit of money, you gave God your 10%, but it's less than everybody else, you gave your best. Let me say it again. If you have a bunch of money, you're giving God only 5, 7, 8%, because you're all tied up in debt or you don't believe and trust in the biblical principle tied in, whatever it might be. But even though your 5% is more than everybody else is giving, you still got the window closed because you didn't give God your best. But if you only gave God a little bit of money, but the little bit was your 10%, you gave God your best. He says, give. And men, he says, give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And he will cause men to give unto you. What are you saying? God says in the New Testament, because if I open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing to you, it's going to be shaken down, shake it. You can shake it in the butt, press it down, shake it some more, and still be running over. And God says, then not only will I be giving to you from vertical, from top down, but I'll give to you horizontal. Folk on the right side, left side of you, the front and the back of you, people will start giving to you too. Good God Almighty. God says, I'm going to give while folk give to you. Oh, you don't hear me. Luke 6:38, go read unto it. Go read it. Give, and it shall be given to you. Press down, shaken together, run over, and men shall give unto your bosom. Old folks, you say this. You can't be God-given no matter how hard you try. The more you give, the more he gives to you. So keep on giving You know it's really true. You can't be God-given, no matter how hard you try. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I can't really sing it like I want to, but let me tell you. What I'm talking about is you can't be God-given. The more you give to God, God's going to outgive you. See, God's always going to be in the front, always going to be on the top. He's always going to be the best. So when you start giving, don't think God's going to shortchange you. God says, you give to me, I'm going to outgive back to you. Press down, shake it together, run it over. That's under open heaven. I want to free somebody's mind tonight. I want to free somebody's finances tonight. I want to free someone's spirit. I want to free somebody's attitude. I want to free somebody's pocketbook. I want to free somebody's career. I want to free you. I want to set you free to live in the overflow. Don't be afraid to trust God. Preached a sermon on this before, back in 2007, calling God We Trust. Why did I preach that? Because you look at all our money in America. We're saying God We Trust. But we say it in a flat lie on the money, because in the dollar we trust. In the penny, in the quarter, in the $5 bill, in the $10 bill, in the $20 bill, in the American money currency, we trust in the money. But we say on the money, in God we trust. What a paradoxical, what an ironic statement that we have on the money. In God we trust. We lie. And the truth is not in us. But I tell you the truth, if you trust God with your money, trust God with what belongs to him, trust God, prove him and test him, you can't beat him given. No matter how hard you try, he's going to outgive you, and he's going to bless you under open heaven. There's a song that says, let me touch you and see if you're real. See, you got to say, God, I don't really believe what the pastor's saying tonight. But if you reach out and touch God with your money, see if you don't touch your back. Touch God with your illness and see if God don't heal you. Touch God with your problems and see if you don't solve it. Touch God with your sin and see if he don't give you righteousness. Touch God when you're lost and see if he don't find you. Touch God in darkness, he'll give you light. Touch God with yourself and see if he don't save you. Let me touch you and see if you're real.
Amen. There's another. It says, let me touch you and see if you are real. If I can just touch the hem of your garment, I know I can be made whole. We just want to have a little worship over here before we go on with the program. Come on, family, sing it with me. Oh.
Let me touch you.
Yes, yes. Let me touch you and see if you're real. By your power, I know I can be healed. Jesus, let me touch you and see if you're real. Stop saying Riggins coming to you live. Real people, real life, real answers every Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. We're talking about unopened heaven tonight as we're living in the overflow. So glad for all those out there tonight. Thanks for Mr. Baron Glass being out there. He's our producer, our creator of the show. But thanks for all other listeners that are listening. Thank God for our engineer, Ms. Rihanna Pigos, that working in the background tonight also, for all that we're trying to do in the kingdom of God, for all people, all backgrounds, all spectrums of the world, in every way we can. Because Real Life Church is a multicultural, non-denominational ministry in Houston, Texas. We're excited about Jesus Christ. We're excited about having you on tonight. I get kind of wild, I get kind of crazy. Time you even catch me in situations where I'm out messing my horses or doing something otherwise, but the show must go on. Good God Almighty. And we're glad to be out here tonight. If you heard the word tonight and want to give a comment, have a question, or a prayer request, here's an opportunity for you to say something tonight. You want to have a comment, a question, a prayer request. As we talked about under open heaven, it's your opportunity before we pray tonight. Thank you for being on tonight. Thank you for being able to hear the word of God, share with us. Thank you for able to receive this word. I know when you talk about money, it can kind of touch you. It could be funny when you talk about somebody's money. But remember, we're talking about God's money tonight. And God says, listen, I want to bless you if you take care of me and my money. Father, we thank you and praise you. Love you for the opportunity to share your word. To spit your truth out to your people and give your truth out. And every time the truth is spoken, sometimes it might not be what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. Sometimes it might be how we want to hear it, but it is the truth. And so, Lord, we know that tonight you challenge us to live on an open heaven. It's not about giving to the preacher, not about giving to the denomination, the church, or congregation. It's about giving unto you. And, Lord God, you will make us because man will break us. But, Lord, we thank you for who you are in the name of Jesus. Now, somebody might not be saved. Somebody might need to be delivered. Somebody might need to be healed. It is in the name of Jesus we pray that breaks every chain. If they will confess the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, in their heart that God raised from the dead, they will be saved. If they need healing in their body, he said healing the children's bread. We break the spirit of infirmity, we call healing. That by your stripes we're healed. If there's deliverance we need, Lord God, we know that you're able to deliver, set free. You're able to change minds. You're able to lift heaven burdens. You're able to give joy in the place of sorrow, hope in the place of despair, love in the place of hate. Lord God, you're able to give light in the place of darkness, salvation in the place of sin. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you. Lord, we ask that you teach us how to live on the open heaven. We're broke and we have lack, and we don't have enough of money. If you give us all we need, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's Pastor A.F. Riggins. We're so glad to have you on tonight. May God bless you as our prayer. Once again, that's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Amen.
Oh. Come on, use your key. Use your key.
Thank you. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Come on, Timothy. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain. Oh, oh, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain.
That's it, there is power.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to
break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it. Break every chain.